Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for joining me. We are talking about saying yes when you keep hearing no. Are you ready to take action? Get over that hump? Get on your way to feeling better, achieving a goal, making a deeper impact, and just being happier. Well, my friend, you're going to have to stop pushing opportunities aside, refusing help, trying to do it all on your own, and most importantly, saying no. What are you afraid of? Are you so closed off and shut down to believe that you've experienced everything there is to experience? That you couldn't possibly learn something new about yourself and be happier than you are today? Hogwash. There is always more. Let's dig into the knee-jerk, I'm just looking response and start saying yes. Let's talk about what's preventing you from saying yes, when no works for you and when it can work against you, and how being open to more can give you the momentum to propel you forward. Sound like a plan? Are you the person who walks into a store and no matter what your mission, when you're approached for help, you say, "No, thank you. I'm just looking." It's a knee-jerk reaction. I've said it, and then you thought about it for a half a second. You retract and you say, "Why, yes, I do need help. Where is this or that?" I mean, why spend time searching for something that I'm unfamiliar with when an expert just said, "How can I help you today?" We've become conditioned to figuring things out on our own, to avoid making contact and possibly being talked into something we don't need or aren't ready for. Has this been your experience when you've let your guard down and accepted help? No? Well, then where did this preconceived notion come from? Why are we so quick to push aside help and go it alone? How many automatic no's do you deliver every day? Even if not verbally, what about in your mind? How many times does no cycle through your brain? Peter Shankman is an author, entrepreneur, and a customer service guru. He challenges us to take a look at the automatic no in his article, Yes Versus No. We spend a ridiculous amount of time in our lives saying no. We say no to that which we don't even understand. We say no to that which we believe will drag us down or waste our time or get us in trouble. It's almost automatic. We say no to that which allows us not to say yes. We say no, possibly because it's one less letter than yes. It serves us more time in our busy, busy lives. But what if we said yes a little more often? No is easy. No allows us to get on with our day, secure in the knowledge that something, once presented to us, was analyzed and turned away. You did it. And hey, there are times where we should say no. The problem is the majority of the time we're saying no for the wrong reasons. Saying no because it's an easy cop-out shouldn't be in your negative arsenal. Saying no because it's easier than saying yes denies you the chance to see what could come of the work required by saying yes. It denies you the opportunities that exist by saying yes. And saying no because it's easy denies you a world of potential benefits. Saying yes opens the doors to potential that saying no shuts down. Saying yes, whether it be coffee with a friend or to give your opinion about something you're passionate about, opens up connections for you that would otherwise remain closed. What if this week we did it differently? Try saying yes to three things where your first instinct would have been to say no. They don't have to be brain busters or time killers, just three things to which you would have otherwise said no. then just see what happens. Is something coming to mind? Are you remembering those times you just automatically said no and then walk away and say, why did I even say that? I should have jumped in and I should have taken advantage of that. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Sometimes no is so deeply rooted that even though it comes out of your mouth, it doesn't come from your heart. It's an opinion or a thought given to you when you needed help to understand the world. Somewhere, someone told us no, and we believed it. And it became our thought and our opinion too. Left unchallenged, we carry it around and use it like caution codes for road construction. Slow down, use caution, or worse, detour here. We reroute everything in our life based on something we heard versus something we've tested. We talk a lot about self-limiting beliefs, and that's because it's important. It's important to look at it from all angles and continue to bring new ideas around that subject to the surface. If you heard it the first time and you were able to break through all your false beliefs and adopt your own perspective, then congrats. How freeing that must feel. However, I'm going to lay down money on the fact that most of us need to hear it again and again, and even after that, be continually reminded. Deeply rooted beliefs don't pluck easy from our garden of knowledge. It takes persistence, and just like weeds that come back again and again, when given any opportunity, these thoughts and judgments will replay over and over. Habits for Well-Being share some insight on where they come from and why they are so easy for us to believe. Limiting beliefs can come from many places, like family members, teachers, coaches, media, society, culture. They're formed by repeated thoughts and are mostly created in childhood from interactions with the people around us. As children's brains are not fully developed, they can take on many limiting beliefs from their immediate environment. And as they don't know the difference between what's real and what is not, like for example, a situation occurred in childhood. Interpretation about that situation was made. It led to it becoming a meaning that led to a thought. That person then believed that thought, whether it was true or not, kept thinking it. And as they came across similar situations occurred over time, it became their belief. Nothing binds you except your thoughts. Nothing limits you except your fear. And nothing controls you except your beliefs. That was a quote by Marianne Williamson, so perfect for that. Many of those thoughts we have and brought up in childhood, we don't even know that they're limiting. If we never challenge them, how would we ever know? There are many examples of these kind of beliefs. They can be general or specific. Specific limiting beliefs relate to specific areas of life, like money or family, friends, work, health, fitness. And general beliefs are more global, and they can relate to many different things. Here are some examples of limiting beliefs. I'm not worthy. Or, I'm not a worthwhile person. Somewhere, we must have heard that. How did we come to that decision so early? I'm not worthy. I'm not blank enough. You could insert anything. I'm not smart enough, rich enough, tall enough, thin enough. I don't deserve it. Or, I don't deserve that to happen to me. I'm not a nice person. Who told us that? I don't have enough blank support, experience, money, brains. There is not enough for everyone, so I'll do the right thing and just miss out. That martyr type situation. Have you ever just sat out just because you felt like you didn't deserve it? It's not spiritual to have a lot of money, so I'm just not going to try to make a lot. I don't want people to think I am blank, selfish, mean, hateful. I don't trust myself. I can't handle it. Who told you that you weren't strong enough to handle any situation, any challenge? I am going to fail, so why even bother trying? How many times have we talked ourselves out of something, not believing that we have enough of whatever it is to just go for it? Maybe you can relate to some of these ideas. There are so many limiting beliefs, but in a famous book, Fear the Fear and Do It Anyway, Dr. Susan Jeffers shares that the biggest fear that people are afraid of is, I can't handle it. Is that one of your beliefs? So how do you transform these limited beliefs? First of all, you have to be aware you're even having them. That's the first thing. As I said before, if you don't challenge them, you may not even know they are a limiting belief. Next time you make a statement about yourself, stop and think about it for a second. Is that true or is that what I've heard? Remember, beliefs are not facts. Here are some beliefs easily picked up in the world. Happiness comes from the outside, achieving a lot. Now, we may think that, but is that true? Doesn't happiness come from within? I have to earn the right to be worthy of love, connection, or belonging. Don't you already deserve connection and deserve love? Other people's opinion of me is more important than my own opinion of myself. I will get hurt if I share my true self. Don't be vulnerable. Don't let them see you be weak. Even if you haven't heard that, you know it's been said. There is something wrong with me and it needs to be fixed. I can't do it. There's something wrong with me. We've all had these beliefs at one time or many times in our lives. We may still be having them now. The first step is to recognize that there could be an alternative perspective. As with anything, if you aren't aware, you can't alter your thoughts. For me, it happens as a revelation. I may have heard it and believed it one way for so long, and then all of a sudden I hear a new idea that challenges my old one, and bam. I may have heard it over and over, but for some reason that one time took hold and opened my eyes. So don't stop searching for new ideas and listening to others. Knowledge comes from hearing, so be open to what's being said around you. Once your mind is open and this new idea is swirling around, it's time to challenge your old way of thinking. Now, you might be a skeptic, so this may not happen in one attempt, but that's the beauty of self-discovery. It's a journey. Keep poking away at it and whittle it down until it no longer has a hold over you. Sometimes it's the sheer fear of saying yes. Now, we've already established no keeps us closed off and protected. New ideas and opportunities might push you out of your comfort zone, and then what? Well, you'll be exposed and vulnerable, and people might see the true you. Ouch! Sounds funny, but generally, we're afraid of the unknown. Routine is comfortable and predictable, but what if you really like it, and it propels you to new heights? Have you ever thought about it that way? What if you like it? In a book by Ed and Deb Shapiro, The Way Ahead, breaks down overcoming fear, and they label fear as false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Everyone knows fear. It can come in an instant and throw you into chaos, but it can also save your life. Fear is a natural response to physical danger, but can also be self-created, like fear of failure, being out of control, being different, or being lonely. There is a fear of the future and of death. You may fear love because you fear being rejected. You fear being generous because you fear you will not have enough. You fear sharing your thoughts, your feelings, in case you appear wrong. And you fear trusting because you're dominated by self-doubt and insecurity. This self-generated fear is found in the acronym FEAR, false evidence appearing real. It appears real, even though it is a fear of the future, and it's not even happening right now. It has no real substance, arising when the ego self is threatened, which makes you cling to the known and familiar. Such fear creates untold worry, apprehension, nervous disorders, and even paranoia. The immediate effect of fear is to shut you down, and in particular, to shut off the heart. Just for a moment, let your body take the stance of feeling fearful. What is your posture? What are you doing right now? Most people hunch their shoulders forward, fold their arms across their chest, and assume like that contracted position, sort of to shield your heart. Are you doing that? Fear triggers this need to defend. In this self-protective place, the heart goes out of reach and you can't feel love or even friendliness. Try saying, "I love you," with real meaning, while your arms are firmly folded across your heart. Try it. "I love you." It's hard to say it and really mean it, right? You're closed off. As long as you push away, deny, or ignore fear, it will hold you captive and keep you emotionally frozen, unable to move forward. In that place, you become untrusting of love and spontaneity. You get angry or you hide. But when fear contracts and closes the heart, it resists love. But love expands and opens the heart, embracing fear. Kill them with kindness, right? So now try taking that posture of love. Open up. Watch how your body responds, your arms reaching outward, accepting and inviting. Fear may still be there, but love can welcome fear. It can embrace any negativity. Watch how your breathing gets deeper and fuller. Where fear shuts out love, love holds fear tenderly. It's like the sky that contains everything, the stars, the moon, the wind. When your arms are stretched wide, try saying, "I'm frightened," and really mean it. It's hard to do. I hope you're holding your arms out right now. Allowing fear into making friends with it is no small feat. Fear is a powerful emotion that demands understanding and patience. But trying to block it will simply create further anxiety. Fear comes. You breathe in and you let it go. Fear comes. You see how the mind needs reassurance and tenderness. Fear comes. Replace it with love. When you do this, you're inviting that fearful and anxious part of yourself to get to know each other. "Hey, we're just friends here. You're kind of scared. I'm going to embrace you. We're all going to be okay." There are times when no is hard to say, but healthy to do so. I'm not suggesting replacing all your no's with yeses, but just to be mindful so you can get a good, healthy balance. Sometimes saying no is the source of your anxiety. You don't want to let people down. You want to please, fix, or control. No might create that uncomfortable confrontation, or worse, show that you aren't needed when validation is what you need most. Always being there for everyone but yourself is not valiant. It's risky. Just like limiting beliefs, our perception of people-pleasing can be skewed. Helpful can easily morph into controlling. Not allowing others to live their lives unaided by you can create a false sense of dependency, and it can enable them from learning and evolving. People-pleasing is another deeply rooted behavior in our garden, but with no pruning and self-care, it will grow rampant. But you can keep it at bay. Claire Hodgson gives us 5 tips to help you stop being a people pleaser in an article she wrote for Tiny Buddha. 1, make peace with the fact that not everyone is going to like you. And actually, that's okay. One of the most freeing things we learn in life is that we don't have to be liked by everyone. Everyone doesn't have to like us. And we don't have to like everyone. Isn't that awesome? That quote actually says it all. It certainly set my own mindset shift into motion a few years ago when I decided enough was enough and I was going to start putting myself first. When I feel my own pleaser instincts kick in, I always take the time to remember that it's okay for people not to like me. I don't like everyone, and everyone isn't going to like me. As a pleaser, your main drive will be to do everything in your power to make someone like you. For me and for many other pleasers, this comes from a place of severe low self-esteem. Basically, when people like you, you like yourself. When they don't, your opinion of yourself drops. The best way to lessen the need for validation from others is to start working on loving yourself and increasing your own self-esteem. And she has that right. This is something that we need to teach the youth right now. Social media really pushes us to get validation, likes, loves, comments from other people, and it can become obsessive. We have to turn inward and really rely on our own opinions of ourselves. Definitely, if you have young children, have a good talk with them about that. Do a little exercise. How do you feel about yourself? What are some of your best qualities? Get them to start verbalizing those now so they can pick them out and start building on top of them. As a starting point, list all the things that you love about yourself. Aim for at least 10 things initially and refer back to it and add to it regularly. It's difficult when you talk to a people pleaser on what, or someone with low self-esteem, they can talk about things they like about other people, but when it turns inward and they have to figure out what they like about themselves, it's hard to conjure that up. Number 2, learn to say no in a way that feels okay. Not making excuses. How many times have you said no only to go back on your decision when put under a little bit of pressure from another person? I used to do that all the time, or I would say no and make a number of excuses to justify my decision. Now, most of these were white lies, of course. The thing with making excuses rather than offering a firm and honest no, complete with a truthful reason that you can stick to, is that it opens the possibility of negotiation with the person. If that happens, your inner pleaser is likely to give in, and you'll once again find yourself doing things that you don't want to do. So how do you stop this behavior? Say no in a way that feels good to you, but in a way that's strong. You don't have to use one-word answers if that's uncomfortable for you, but you should be truthful. For example, I would love to help, but unfortunately, I have booked a me day. Or, that sounds like a great opportunity, but I think someone else would be better placed to help. Stick to the original answer, and if someone tries to enter into negotiation, simply be firm and repeat it. I use this when I talk to women in my group about saying no without coming up with all the excuses. And once I role play it, I would really like to help out, but I'm sorry, I just can't. And then I let that awkward silence, and I can see them getting all uncomfortable. Oh, I just want to say something else. I want to, you know, smooth it over, make it feel okay. And we are making assumptions for how that person is going to react to us saying no. So we're basically putting that on them, and they might perfectly just accept your no. Practice it. If you have a problem with people pleasing and a problem with saying no, try to do that into the mirror and just stop yourself. Be comfortable with the silence. Number 3, accept that you will feel guilty when you say no to something the first few times. People pleasers often feel guilty when they say no to any request. You probably feel that you're being selfish or that you've let somebody down. This is misplaced guilt. You've done nothing wrong, and that person will most likely find another solution to their problem. When you feel guilty, honor that feeling. But think about how much worse you would feel if you would have said yes to yet another thing you didn't want to do. The likelihood is that this would feel horrible. Remember that the guilty feeling will fade quickly. If you feel that bad, grab your journal and list all the pros and cons of your decision. I bet your pros list is longer. Start setting some boundaries. It's okay to put yourself first. In fact, you will be happier and more productive. The best way to do that, set some boundaries. When we stand for nothing, we fall for everything, as they say. Find somewhere quiet where you won't be distracted or interrupted, and list all of the things that you've done over the past 3 to 6 months that you didn't want to do. Once you have your list, go through and write down the reasons that you didn't want to do those things. You'll probably notice some reoccurring reasons. For example, it cut into my family time. It made me too tired. It wasn't something I was comfortable doing because whatever. Use these reasons to start setting some boundaries for yourself. Like, get enough sleep. Sleep's important. If it stops you from getting sleep, say no. I don't want to be around negative energy. If something's going to expose me to negative energy, I'm going to say no. If something goes against my values of honesty, integrity, I'm going to say no. Start by setting yourself 4 or 5 boundaries at first, and then practice upholding these over the next few months. You can add to them more gradually and build them up. So 5, let go of the people who use your people-pleasing tendencies on purpose. You know, with anything in life, there are those that will take advantage of your good nature. As you begin to raise your levels of self-esteem and start to assert yourself, you'll begin to see those who are trying to trigger your inner people-pleaser for their own benefit. They will be the ones who deliberately try to push your buttons, no matter how many times you say no. They will continue to overstep the boundaries that you set. The best thing to do here? So let them fall away from your life and accept the lessons that they've taught you about who you are and what you want. If it's not possible to let someone go completely, like possibly a family member, then create a healthy distance and prepare for any meetings that you may have with them and refer to your boundaries. You know, make that clear. Communicate that. Remember, this is a process, and if you slip back into your old behaviors, don't be too hard on yourself, but do keep going and making progress. Are you feeling powerful? Perception really does control so much of what we think and do. We can get so rooted in one frame of mind that we miss much of what passes us by. Being open to different opinions and new perspectives gives us a chance to grow in a direction that nurtures and feeds our minds. Saying yes means making the most of every opportunity and every encounter. It means taking chances to stretch your comfort zone, to overcome your insecurities, to beat fear, to get through failure, criticism, rejection, and embarrassment with a positive spirit. It essentially means knowing what you need more of in your life to help you live a more optimal life. And often the things we need most, we resist because they make us feel uncomfortable. Saying yes, of course, isn't easy. In fact, saying no is often the easiest thing to do. However, maybe we should start saying yes more often when saying no feels more convenient. Just maybe we should start living life more adventurously. Saying yes today might not make a significant difference tomorrow, but it might very well send your life into a brand new direction that will bring about tremendous benefits in the future. Have a think back and consider the various things that you said yes to where it would have been easier to say no. Typically, you'll find that there are several moments in your life where saying yes didn't seem like much of a big deal. But this soon led to a chain of events that guided you in a valuable new direction. And it started that snowball, that yes, snowball effect. It's also important to reflect upon the fact that life's opportunities are sometimes given to us, while at other times they're created. The opportunities you get today to say yes to something might not come along anytime soon. In fact, you might not get the opportunity ever again. And unless you say yes to something, you will never know what the possibilities might be. Have a think about all the moments in your life where you've said no. Now, consider that people typically nearing the end of life say that they regret more things they chose not to do rather than the ones they did. In other words, they regret not saying yes more often to the opportunities that presented themselves. People who've spent the vast majority of their lives saying no often catch themselves mulling over, what if? What if I did that? What if I took that chance? What if I would have said yes? These people spend their remaining days regretting all the missed opportunities that might very well have helped them live a more fulfilling life. Here is a list of things that we should say yes to that will help us live more optimally and also propel us forward. Say yes to opportunities to attempt something new that you haven't tried before. Say yes to possibilities for new adventure, challenges, or experiences. Say yes to things that somewhat scare you or that you don't quite understand. Say yes to things that break your monotony, break your rituals, break your habits, break your routines. Say yes to things that help you learn something new about yourself. Say yes to building friendships and connections with strangers. Say yes to experiencing changes that feel uncomfortable and yet somewhat exciting. Say yes to unexpected invites that create interest and pull you out of your comfort zone. Say yes to random encounters and coincidences that you don't quite understand, but you would like to. This is by no means an exhaustive list of things that you should be saying yes to. It does cover a good array of different scenarios that can help you understand and experience more of life. There is, of course, no certainty either way. Saying yes to something can either lead to something better, and then again, it might not. You'll never know unless you give it a try. But at least in this scenario, you give it a go, and then you're not left with what if. Don't you want to squash those what ifs? Yes, you, of course, might regret saying yes to something that you should have said no to, but in retrospect, possibly years into the future, you'll reflect back on this choice you made and come to understand the valuable lessons you learned, shaping the person that you are today. I hope you'll say yes. So I challenge you, take a moment before you respond. This could be the opportunity for something new and exciting to develop. Embrace yes and challenge no when you've considered all of your options. You deserve the best life has to offer, and I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Someone threw until the path was clear.